Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome into the MMQB podcast. I am Matt Verderam, joined by Gilberto Manzano here. It is Thursday, August 24th, and that means we only have 1 week of preseason football left. We're all thankful for that. Gil, have you finished up your training camp tour? Are you done now, or you still got a few more you got to hit?
Yeah, no, I'm done. And when you said the date, Matt, I actually forgot what date it is, what day is today. So that tells me we're 2 weeks away from the real football season. So I am done with training camp. I don't know about you, Matt, but after like the 5th or 6th stop, I was over it. I saw enough, you know, kind of somewhat real football. I did check out a couple of scrimmages, which felt like a little bit of real football. But before that, I was like, okay, I'm over the traveling. Let's just get to the Chiefs and the Lions for that Thursday night opener.
Yeah, man. I went to 8 camps. I saw 9 teams because the Lions and the Giants had joined practice when I was up in Allen Park. The day that I woke up in Kansas City, I actually didn't know what city I was in when I woke up. I had a 2 second, I don't know if panic's the right word, but just a quick like, where am I? And then like, oh yeah, right. Okay, I got to go to St. Joe. So I'm done. I finished on Tuesday. I went up to Green Bay for the last one, which was kind of more of an add-on at the end. I had gone up there for OTAs to do a feature on Jordan Love, and I wanted to go back up there and visit with Matt LaFleur, and it was worth the 6-hour round trip. It was a long bit of travel in one day, but we made it happen. How many camps did you get to over the course of the summer?
I got to, I want to say 8, and I had like you with the Packers, an extra one with the Saints. The Saints came to Southern California for a joint scrimmage with the Chargers, so technically 9 teams, but the way I think I did it was, I think it was 5 states. I drove to Las Vegas and Arizona, and then I flew to San Jose, Seattle, and Denver. And going from Seattle to Denver, that's the one I felt. But yeah, man, I primarily got the West Coast teams. I got, you know, 8 teams. The ones that were easy were the ones in my backyard in LA, the Cowboys, the Chargers, and the Rams. But, you know, after I got on the plane, you know, at one point I started thinking, I don't know how you did it, Matt, because you were driving everything. Me driving to Las Vegas and Arizona, that was too much. I couldn't do any more car rides after that.
Yeah, I didn't fly for any of them. I'm based outside Chicago. You're based in Los Angeles. So your teams are more sprawling for you. I mean, you're not driving to Seattle from LA. For me, the longest drive I had was Kansas City, which was like 6.5 hours each way. So I did make that happen. But luckily, like, Chicago to Indy's not bad. Indy to Cincinnati's a couple hours. You know, it wasn't too bad. Look, we're going to get into Trey Lance. We're going to get into there was an injury at Broncos camp earlier today before this recording with Jerry Jeudy. It appears to be a hamstring injury. We'll talk about that a little bit. But I wanted to ask you, so the 8 teams you saw, or the 8 practices you went to, and which team to you was the most impressive? And was there a team that stood out to you, either good or bad, that you were kind of surprised by?
Yeah, it's a tough question, man, because I was thinking that because I got a good balance of really bad teams from Arizona I saw our guy Connor Orr had him at 1-16 for the for his win loss record story that came out today. So they look like they're going to be really bad, and I it was tough for me to figure out who's who on that roster. So I got that, and then I got all the really good teams like the 49ers. You know, I'm high on the Seahawks. You know that from our doing our midsummer prediction. By the way, that was tough. We had to pick our Super Bowl teams in what, like April or May. We're gonna do it again, and I'm so happy about that. But the Seahawks look good. I like the Cowboys a lot, but every year it's the same thing. Like, they get far and they don't get past the second round. So I can't commit to them. Same thing with the Chargers. They just don't go far. Like, they're really hyped and have a lot of good players. So I keep going back to the 49ers because they've shown to me to at least get to the Super Bowl or at least make it to the NFC title game. And then Brock Purdy being healthy, that to me was all I needed to see to say, you know what? I like the Seahawks, but I'm going to leave that bandwagon and go to the 49ers.
Do you believe in Purdy? I mean, look, obviously you believe in him enough that you're high in the Niners, but you know they'll roll with Purdy, which we knew they would if he was healthy. Lance is the third string guy, and I know you wrote a piece on Trey Lance. We can get to him in a little bit here. The roster's stacked. I don't think anybody questions that. I mean, they have all pros literally in almost every single meeting room. They have guys everywhere. They have a very good head coach in Kyle Shanahan, but they've been a team that they haven't found their quarterback, or at least they haven't proven to have found their quarterback yet. They went through Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo, of course, now with the Raiders, who you saw as well during your tour. Do you think Purdy's the guy? Do you think he's just a guy? Like, where do you stand on Brock Purdy?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question, Matt, because, like, you know, I'm not trying to say that I saw everything in one day, but being at 49ers camp, if I wanted to see, okay, is he the leader of the franchise? Do guys gravitate towards him? Are people listening to the guy? Are people excited to play with him? And you could tell, like the keys were handed to Brock Purdy. He is a guy. He's not competing at all. And to have seven games, and you know, in the NFL, like, it's all about what do you do the second time around, how teams adjust defensively. And I'm like, we got to see that from Brock Purdy. And the 49ers are like, you know, forget that. We don't need a second time around. He is a guy. And it feels like Brock Purdy, like, the bar is not that high, man. Like, it was like, if you're just better than Jimmy G, which is, it's a good middle tier. But if you do better than that, that's all it takes, because it's a loaded roster. So I think having those seven games in the regular season and playoffs, and that's a big thing too. Like, he has postseason experience. Trey Lance does not have that, and I'm pretty sure Sam Darnold does not either. So I had to figure that out. Yeah, Jets and the Panthers, he does not. So having playoff experience with a team that's ready to go, I think was all that Kyle Shanahan needed. And then to watch him out there, yeah, this guy is poised. You know, he's quick with the offense. He's making good throws, tight window throws. And then I'm watching Trey Lance with the third team having a split time with Sam Darnold. And I'm like, why are 49er fans so pressed about, you know, saying bad things about Trey Lance? Like, he's struggling. We're being honest here. But giving up multiple first-round picks for Trey Lance, it just kind of sits the wrong way for 49er fans, that I think they're kind of missing the point. We're like, go all in on Brock Purdy. He is your guy. Why are you so focused on the guy who was drafted number three overall?
Yeah, look, and I haven't seen the 49ers this summer like you have, but, you know, you talk to people around the league. Look, nobody takes pleasure in just slamming a player. It's not about that. But Trey Lance at this point hasn't developed the way they thought he would. If he was even remotely passable as a starting quarterback, they would play him. They gave up three first-round picks for Trey Lance. That's the reality of it. Like, the NFL teams don't like to look dumb. They don't like to look bad. They invested the last pick in the draft last year in Brock Purdy, okay? Mr. Irrelevant. Trey Lance was the third overall pick, and they gave up three firsts to get him. If they thought it was even close, they would play Trey Lance. Trey Lance could not beat out Sam Darnold. And I don't want to be that guy. Sam Darnold has stunk in his NFL career. Let's just call it what it is. He was bad with the Jets. He was a top five pick there. He flamed out. He went to Carolina. He looked great for 3 weeks. People started writing pieces about how he might be the MVP of the league. By the end of the season, he wasn't even the starter. It's what it is. Like, he's got arm talent, but not much more to his resume at this point. So, look, Purdy proved to the guys in that room he can win games. He proved he can win playoff games. They beat Dallas last year in the playoffs. They beat Seattle last year in the playoffs. And then the Philadelphia game, look, I don't know that they would have won anyway, but he doesn't even have a chance because he's hurt so early. So to your point, man, I think if you're the 49ers, it really isn't that tough of a decision. Like, there's really, Lance hasn't forced it to be a tough decision, and Darnold wasn't brought in there to try to start anyway. So, you know, that's why when our colleague Albert Breer was out there and talked to Kyle Shanahan, Shanahan had that quote, you know, he'd have to melt not to be our starter. Yeah, well, no kidding. I mean, there's no reason not to start Brock Purdy. There's no evidence that he's not the best option on that roster.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like, that's the biggest thing is, like, if you just listen to the words that Kyle Shanahan is saying at his press conference, like, it's obvious it's going to be Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold. And he just, like, the backup just needs to know the role of the system. Like, hey, like, if you know, something happens, an emergency occurs to Brock Purdy, just run the freaking offense. You got Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle. Just give it to your guys, and that's all we need. And you know, unfortunately with Trey Lance, he hasn't got to that kind of safe floor. The ceiling is really high. Maybe he's going to be really good. And I will put probably a house that he'll be better than Sam Darnold at the end of the day. But right now he's not there. And there is some intrigue with Trey Lance where, you know, maybe he goes to Minnesota. Maybe he goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, I will bet on that ceiling. But if you got a roster that's ready to go now, just go with Brock Purdy and let Sam Darnold do what has to do. And even Brian Allen might be okay. The only thing is, like, you remember the NFC title game where everybody went down. Like, you want to have more bodies at quarterback. But I think right now, they have the right approach, and it was a little tricky situation.
Let's also say this too, right? So the 49ers in the last four seasons have at least gone to the NFC title game three times. They get to the Super Bowl in 2019. They get to the NFC title game then against the Rams, and then they get to the NFC title game last year against Philadelphia. So this is a team that has had immense success, despite the fact that the quarterback situation has been in flux for them. After they lost the Super Bowl to Kansas City, that's when they made the move for Lance. But Trey Lance is a unique case because he went to North Dakota State. He threw 318 passes total in college. Total. Now, part of that was lose year because of COVID. Okay, part of that was his first year there. He literally was in two games. He threw one pass. Almost all those stats of the 318 attempts he had. In 2019, he had 287 of them, and he was excellent. He threw for 9.7 yards per attempt, 28 touchdowns, zero interceptions, which is why the Niners traded three first-round picks. They move up. Since he's been in the NFL, he's thrown 102 passes. So if you look at Trey Lance since 2018, he has thrown 420 passes in college or pro. It's hard to get much better. It's hard to improve. Now, part of that might just be, look, he hasn't developed the way they want to in practice. Part of that is because of COVID. Part of that is because of circumstance. Whatever you want to call it, like, that's where, and I want to bring up your piece, I think it's interesting. Like, if I'm a team that doesn't have a quarterback moving forward, in Minnesota, you brought them up. So Kirk Cousins is signed for one more year. After that, he's slated to be a free agent. If I'm a team like that, yeah, I'm interested in Trey Lance. I'm not giving up a top 100 pick, but I'm calling John Lynch and asking, hey, look, would a sixth rounder do it? Would a fifth rounder do it? Maybe a conditional fifth rounder? Like, I'm interested in him because he's still kind of an unknown. You don't know what he's going to be yet. He's still really young. He's still athletic. Like, I'd rather bring in Trey Lance than go out and bring in Carson Wentz. I know what Carson Wentz is. I don't want Carson Wentz at this point. I don't. I know who he is. I don't know yet who Trey Lance is. Maybe he doesn't work out. Fine, that happens. I'd rather give him a shot than go just get another retread 30-year-old vet who, all right, I know what the ceiling is, and it's not that high.
Yeah, you know, Matt, the tricky part is trying to do a trade right now. And it kind of felt like the 49ers were just waiting for some kind of good results or progress from Trey Lance. He wasn't doing it in training camp. He struggled in his first preseason game. And then, last week, fourth quarter comeback against the third stringers. You know, I forget what team he was playing. Maybe it was the Cardinals. I forget what team. But, you know, or the Broncos. I'm blanking. But it was there you go, the Broncos. It was a fourth quarter comeback against the third stringers on the Broncos. And he looked decent. He had some good throws and it was potential. And I'm like, okay, now might be a good time to maybe put the feelers out there for a trade. And then you gotta decide on the roster because the 53-man roster cutdown day is next Tuesday. And you can't keep four quarterbacks. And the 49ers are probably thinking, we got to have at least three. and it's probably going to be Brian Allen. So let's go trade Trey Lance. So I think that's why they're trying to do it. But the thing is, like, there's not many jobs available. When I was asked to do this piece about destinations for Trey Lance, I was really struggling, especially in the AFC, because there's so many good quarterbacks. And if you're a team in the you're the 49ers of the NFC, you're thinking, just in case he's good, you want to send him to the AFC. But the problem is all the jobs are taken there, so it's tough. And then hearing Kyle Shanahan talk, we could toss this after my point here to the audio. He said he decided on Sam Darnold being the backup 10 days ago. So that just tells you they were ready to move on from Trey Lance a while ago.
Yeah, and let's bring in the audio of this whole thing, because I think it's really interesting where the Niners are on Trey Lance, and this is from Wednesday with Kyle Shanahan meeting the media.
I'm really hoping so. I mean, this isn't a thing that we're giving up on Trey. This is more of how Brock played in his 7 games, and that was decided before the season started. And then how good Sam's looked. They both looked good. But we do have to make a decision here, and you only get so many reps at it, and we feel... starting about 10 days ago, Sam really separated himself, and we got to keep it real in that way. But I feel very, very fortunate to have both of them here. I really hope when it's said and done that all three of these guys are here, and you never know when that's going to come up. We needed 4 guys last year. Doesn't happen much, but if we can have Trey as an option here, I would feel extremely happy about that. I think the other quarterbacks in our room would, and I think our team would. Trey's a very well-liked guy, one of the better people I've been around, and I do think he's going to have a lot of success in this league. It's been a tough road for him because the times he has gotten an opportunity, he ended up getting hurt and missed that window, and now he's sitting in this position, and we'll always try to do right for Trey. If there's a better situation that his heart's in and something like that, we're going to make sure not to do something that hurts him in that way. So that's stuff that I talked to him about this morning. That's stuff I'll talk to him about tonight and continue to talk to him about. But Trey knows how I feel about him. And I hope he ends up being able to be here, and that's the best thing for him. But we got to see what is the best thing from now until then.
So that is Kyle Shanahan talking to the media about Trey Lance. Look, I'd like to translate that into 3 words. Please call us. Okay. You're not... If Andy Reid's asked about Patrick Mahomes, hey, is he going to be on the team next week? You're not going, yeah, I hope so. Hope he's here, right? Like, of course he's here, right? He's here. He's going to be here. He's going to be here for the future. The Niners don't know if Trey Lance is going to be here because they don't know if they're going to get a phone call with a good enough offer. Look, the reality is if he can't beat out Sam Darnold, he's not going to be there in any meaningful capacity. Now, they could have sold it more to me if Purdy's the starter and they're like, listen, he just has to be after the way he played last year. Okay, that's fair enough. He can't beat out Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold just got there. He can't beat out that guy. So, no, I think to your point, Gil, it's tough to find a spot in the AFC for him because it is just such a loaded group. But in the NFC, like, if I'm Minnesota, I'm making a call, right? If I'm Tampa, and I know they have Kyle Trask and Baker, who cares? Who cares? I don't care that you have Baker. Like, make a phone call. I'd at least be willing to find out. There are plenty of teams that are interesting. Like, if I'm Green Bay, I'm not making that call because I don't want Jordan Love to feel threatened. Like, you gotta just let him know, hey, man, it's your team. It's your team, 100%. Atlanta has Heinicke as a backup. I have a feeling Heinicke's going to play some games this year. We'll see how that plays out. So maybe that's not an ideal fit, but I'll give you another one. Now, this wouldn't be like a place he could go and start by any means. Mariota's looked bad in Philadelphia this preseason. I wouldn't mind seeing Trey Lance as a backup to Jalen Hurts in Philly, you know, with Sirianni. Now, again, I don't know that Trey Lance would love that situation because obviously you're not getting a job there, but from the team's perspective, I think if you're the Eagles, you could do a heck of a lot worse. But yeah, there's plenty of places. If I'm the Rams, like maybe it's worth looking into. Now, with the Niners trading to the Rams, I don't know, right? But it's the same system, Shanahan and McVay. The Rams probably would have a tough time getting him. But there are places in the league that are worth looking into. It's just a matter of can you find an opportunity.
Yeah, you know what I go back to on the Kyle Shanahan comments? It's like, Kyle said, we want to do right by Trey Lance. He's a great person. He's done all the right things. I'm like, if you want to do right by the guy, you could have done it in the draft. He would have had a better opportunity then. But right now, don't try to get back all the draft capital you lost. Just if it's a fifth round pick, sixth round pick, fine, go away, go find your home. We tried our best. We're doing right by you. Now, if you're kind of thinking like, we want a third or a second, and then we saw what happened in the NFC title game, we're just going to keep you here. Sorry, Trey. And then like next year, like it's already, you know, you have to pick up his contract on the fifth year option. And you don't know anything about the guy. That's just doing bad for Trey Lance. So it just kind of just say, go away, fifth round, sixth rounder. That'd be great for Trey. Now, in terms of options, I like what you said about Jordan Love. Like, you don't want to feel threatened because he's your new face of the franchise. And a little different in Miami, like Mike McDaniel knows Trey Lance a little bit. But, you know, you can't have Tua looking over his shoulder like, hey, we want you to be the guy. We're hoping we got to pay you eventually, but this is not a good look here. People tell me about DeMeco Ryan in Houston. They just gave a first-round pick to C.J. Stroud. They got to see what they have there. So options are very limited. You know, like I do like Tampa Bay because that's his best option of playing now. Like, who cares about Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask? And I get Baker Mayfield has grown up from the Cleveland days. I got to cover him with the Rams, and he's a totally different leader now. But we've seen his potential. It's going to be very rocky, some good moments and a lot of bad. But with Trey Lance, at least go see what you have. I don't know about Kyle Trask. I don't think I want to know. So, but that seems like the best one for an option for Tampa Bay. But I always go back to the team that I really want to. If for Minnesota, if the reports were true about being interested and he's from Minnesota, you know, and you're not committed to Kirk Cousins after this year, just go ahead. And I know where Kirk Cousins maybe has a couple of bad games. Is it a bad thing to pull Kirk Cousins and just have him, you know, I don't want to say a throwaway year, but let Trey Lance develop and also get to learn to play with Justin Jefferson at the same time?
Well, you know, I think it's one of those things for Minnesota. You want to win as many as you can, but at the same juncture, like if the season goes sideways and you're 6-9 or something, right? Like, why not? Why not get a couple games in there? Look, Minnesota this year, so this actually works as a good transition. So I went to Minnesota. I went up to Vikings camp. I got to talk to O'Connell. Got to, you know, talk to Jordan Addison. Wrote a feature on him. I think he's going to be terrific. In fact, I actually saw the whole NFC North. So I really cornered the market there. Minnesota is going to have to score a lot of points because that defense is not going to stop a whole lot of people. I love Brian Flores as a defensive coordinator. I think he's an excellent hire. He's going to be a huge upgrade over Ed Donatell. They just don't have the talent defensively. There's just no two ways around it. I like Mekhi Blackman. He's a third-round pick out of USC. I think, you know, he's an undersized corner, but I like his game. He's feisty. He's physical. You got Harrison Smith. You have Danielle Hunter. And after that, it's a whole lot of like, good luck. You're going to have to stop some things. Now, the good news is for Minnesota, Green Bay has, even though they have many returning players, really it's a new offense, which Jordan Love. And the Bears, do you believe in the Bears offensively? I'll say this from my camp tour. I saw the whole NFC North. I saw the Browns, the Bengals, the Colts, the Chiefs, and the Giants. Giants, again, that joint practice. The Bears offense, I think, is going to be a work in progress. I love Justin Fields' talent, but and there were a handful of times in 7-on-7s, in 11-on-11s, like he wouldn't throw the ball. And he would wait, and he'd hitch, and then he'd hitch again, and then he'd throw it. Those are hospital balls in the NFL. Like, if you wait an extra beat or two to throw the ball to your receiver, that guy's getting killed coming across the middle. I don't know how much I believe in the Bears this year. I think they're better. How much better? I don't know. The Packers, I've seen twice now. I saw them in OTAs and I saw them at training camp. I think Love is just going to be inconsistent. I think there's going to be some games he plays really well. I think there's going to be other games where it's rough. You know, he makes some throws you're really impressed by. And then at other times, he'll miss a really easy throw. And I think that's, frankly, a lot of rust. He hasn't played that much for the last handful of years. So I think the Packers are a little better than people think they are. But I think they're probably around a 500 team. Minnesota, look, if you like points, Minnesota's a team for you. There's going to be a lot of 31-27 games with the Vikings. I think they're going to score points, they're going to give up points. But this is all a prelude, though, to say, I got to tell you, the Lions looked really good at training camp. Now, it's training camp, and that's cool. I understand that. It's not, you know, it's not week 10. But the Lions last year started 1-6. They finished 8-2. Played really well down the stretch. They had that game in Week 18 where it meant nothing for them in terms of the playoffs. And if the Packers won, they were in the playoffs. And that game is a nationally televised game at Lambeau. Lions go up there and beat them. I think the Lions are the best team in that division. I think they are a 10-11 win team. I do not think they're going to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that. But I think Dan Campbell's got them going in the right direction. I love the assistant coaches, the coordinators in particular, with Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. Jahmyr Gibbs looked great the day I was there. I kind of cringed at that pick. Number 12 overall for a back for the Lions. Like, it seemed like a little bit of a luxury pick, but he looked excellent. They're high on Sam Laporta, their second-round tight end. I don't know how you feel about the division, but I think Detroit is going to live up to the hype. And by the way, win the NFC North for the first time in franchise history. They have not won that division since it became the North back in 2002.
Matt, I'm glad you brought up the NFC North, and this might be the first time we disagree on this pilot episode of the MMQB podcast between you and I here, because like this might be like the worst kind of, you know, supporting statement here, but as we know in the NFL, there's always five teams that just get to the playoffs out of nowhere, and I'm in that mode where like I got to find five teams that make the playoffs who they were not on our radar a year ago, like the Jaguars some year ago. You know, with the AFC, it's so hard for me because I feel like all those teams are going to be very good that I don't really see a surprise. I find myself in the NFC trying to find a surprise team, and I keep going to Green Bay. Like, I really like Jordan Love's, you know, potential, his strong arm, mobility, and that game that I saw him, you know, filling for Aaron Rodgers in Philadelphia on Sunday Night Football. It's like, those are some big time throws. And you're right. It's going to be, you know, a lot of ups and downs and mistakes that first year. I'm not saying it's going to be like a Patrick Mahomes where like, oh, like he was quick out of the gates to meet that potential. But there is that mobility, that arm strength where like, okay, I like that. Like in today's NFL, you want to have the Justin Herbert arm. You want to have the Josh Allen. So I keep going to the Packers, and then I keep seeing that defense. I'm like, why was that defense bad a year ago? Like you got a very good cornerback. You know, you drafted a Luka Van Ness, the first round pick to go with Rashawn Gary. You have cornerbacks. You have edge rushers. You got linebackers. You drafted a bunch of Georgia guys. Like, could this be the year that the Packers even puts it together and you still have Aaron Jones? Christian Watson looks like a stud wide receiver, second-year guy. You know, they drafted two tight ends not in the first round, but in the draft. So if it comes together, why not the Packers? And Matt LaFleur has been a good coach in this league. We don't know about Matt LaFleur without Aaron Rodgers. That's going to be a big question, but he's been around. Now with the Lions, it's kind of like that Chargers, you know, it's not a real kind of supporting statement, but it's like, and same thing with the Cowboys, like, show me something already. Like Lions, like you have not won the division in 3 decades. I was like 3 years old when you last won it. Barry Sanders was leading the league in rushing. So this is just kind of like one of those things where like you might not meet the hype team, but I do like the Lions. Like if on paper, they are way above the class here. But if you see them in person, Matt, I might be changing my mind now of saying how good they look.
You know what? The Packers are fascinating because of all the teams, and again, they're the only team I saw twice because I was up there in May as well. Like, I'm with you defensively. They have a ton of talent. Okay, you're talking a top five corner in Jaire Alexander, right? Stokes, when he's healthy, is a former first-round pick and one of those Georgia guys you mentioned. They got Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker, who are also Georgia guys. Georgia, by the way, might have enough defenders soon to stack an entire 53-man roster. But they have Devondre Campbell in the middle, Kenny Clark up front. Right? They have guys everywhere. The problem that I have with their defense is who the coordinator is. Joe Barry plays this off, just soft, sagging zone. To me, it doesn't fit who their personality should be defensively, which is to attack. Like, they have so much talent. Just go after teams. Be aggressive. I understand why some of these teams with lesser personnel just go, look, we're going to play a shell coverage, and we're going to just try to keep everything in front of us and make teams drive 12 plays. If I'm the Packers, I'm just going after people. Now, interestingly enough, in Minnesota, Brian Flores, when he was a coach in Miami, they blitzed like crazy. Okay, I expect that Minnesota is going to do the same. When I was there, they were blitzing quite a bit during some of their team periods. I think Flores is looking at this and going, if we're going to give up points, we're going down swinging. I'm bringing everybody. We're going to blitz 13 guys every play. And we're just going to hope that we can force a few mistakes, and that's fine. They'll live by the blitz, and they'll die by the blitz a little bit. The Packers, I think LaFleur will do a very good job with that offense. And to your point, they have a very young group of pass catchers. So Watson's in his second year. Romeo Doubs is in his second year. This year in the draft, they took, as you mentioned, the two tight ends. Okay, they took one in the second round and the third round. They got Tucker Kraft in the third round, Luke Musgrave in the second round. They drafted Dontavian Wicks out of Virginia, receiver, who was a later round pick. They have a kid, by the way, a notable name, Malik Heath, who was out of Ole Miss. He transferred out of Mississippi State after a couple of years. Went to Ole Miss his last year, almost had 1,000 yards. He was a UDFA. In the building, they love that kid. They are really, really high. In fact, I asked Aaron Jones after practice, what are you seeing out of these young kids? And the first thing he said, literally, Malik Heath. So they also have Jaden Reed, who they took, I believe, 50th overall, second round pick out of Michigan State, who was really impressive at the Senior Bowl. It's kind of funny. All those years with Aaron Rodgers, they always got criticized. They never had young pass catchers. Now they have like 10 of them. So I'm sure Rodgers is thrilled with that. But to your point, Gil, it is interesting in the NFC because in the AFC, you look at it and go, okay, there's going to be some really good teams that don't make the playoffs. In the NFC, you go, all right, you got Philly, you got the Niners, you got Dallas. I think you probably have Seattle. And after that, I don't know. I mean, somebody's got to get out of the NFC South. And then it's like, well, do you believe in the Packers? Do you believe in the Lions? Do you believe maybe Minnesota's getting a little bit of a bad rap and they can win 10 games? Do you believe in the Giants with Brian Daboll that they'll get back to the playoffs? Do you think the Rams are going to have a resurgence? I mean, there's a lot of questions in the NFC, and it's probably going to come down to a little bit of luck, some injury stuff. You know, who's going to get the 9 wins? 9 wins probably does in the NFC. In the AFC, I don't think 9 wins even sniffs a playoff berth.
Yeah, you know, I would not be surprised if the Lions and the Packers both make it to, you know, the playoffs, and one of them will be the wild card. And I know the odds say it'll probably be the Packers and Lions winning the division. I still have them flipped there, but you know, it's still a very intriguing division because, like with the Bears, like I want to give them more wins. Like you know, at SI we're always asked to do record predictions, and I think we did one after the schedule came out. And I'm like, I really gave them 5 wins. Like they did a lot this offseason to, you know, to get more than that. You know, DJ Moore, Darnell Wright in the first round, pick up for the offensive line. You know, they got Nate Davis from Tennessee. Like they beefed up top, a good wide receiver. You know, even some of their rookie class on the defensive side, like Zach Pickens. I keep seeing that guy pop. You know, defensive tackle there. So I want to give the Bears more love, but then it's kind of like, I don't know about this year. I think I still need to see more Justin Fields as a passer. He's dynamic on the ground, and he can make enough throws down the field. But I want to see him put it all together. But again, it is the NFC and it's wide open. Like the Commanders can make some noise. I'm not sure about Sam Howell. Sam Howell looked great in preseason action, but what about when the bullets really fly in the regular season? You know, even the team like the Giants, we just all kind of wrote them off after making the playoffs. Like, you know, Darren Waller looks pretty nice too as a tight end. Harris Campbell, the wide receiver. So a lot of options in the NFC. We're overlooking them because the AFC is just stacked. But like, I'm kind of finding myself a little tough to make some of these wildcard picks in the NFC.
I feel like in January, we're going to be sitting here doing this podcast, and we're going to be breaking down the division around the AFC, and it's going to be, all right, it's Bills and Bengals rematch, and it's the Chiefs in Miami or the Chiefs in Jacksonville. It's like some great game. And then you're like, and it's San Francisco and Chicago. It's just going to be the weirdest matchups in the NFC.
It's a beatdown.
Yeah. You're going to have like a 14-point spread. Speaking of the AFC, though, let's go over there for a minute. So, today at practice, Thursday, if you're listening, Thursday at practice for Denver, a team that is already without Tim Patrick for the second straight year, unfortunately tore his Achilles during camp. They have another injury at receiver. We're not sure how serious yet, but it's something I wanted to get into. So this is via James Palmer of NFL Network on Twitter. To quote him, the tweet says, Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy took an end around and then grabbed his right upper leg, looked like a hamstring. He was visibly upset. The cart came out to get him. He had trouble getting on in, and teammates came over before he was taken inside. He needed help getting off the cart and getting inside. End of the tweet. So, Sean Payton has since said it is a hamstring injury, and they're going to have an MRI to determine the severity of it. Where do you sit with the way Denver looks right now? And obviously, that not great here with Jeudy, but you know, Patrick's out for the year. Javonte Williams is seemingly healthy after a what looked to be a catastrophic knee injury last year. They suffered against the Raiders. He's back. Of course, you have a new head coach. Are you a believer in Denver, as some are, or do you fade the Broncos here, especially in the wake of some of these injuries at receiver?
You know, I hate this time of year, one, for injuries like that with Jerry Jeudy. Hopefully it's okay. But it's also, it's very, you know, optimistic, positive. And I was at one stop on my tour, and somebody was like, I hate this time of year. It's so positive. Like, let's just get to the real games and really, like, kind of break down who's a legit playoff team or a contender. And I was buying into the Broncos because of Sean Payton. You know what? No nonsense kind of attitude. No bucket hats on the sideline. No interviews in the preseason. I'm like, maybe they need that after some kind of party year with Nathaniel Hackett. I'm not trying to take shots at Hackett. That Sean Payton already did that. But I kind of feel like this team needed that old school mindset to get Russell Wilson out of this whatever persona he had in Seattle. It's going to be different in Denver. Then I started watching Jerry Jeudy in camp. And I started watching Courtland Sutton. I'm like, hey, I might be buying this Courtland Sutton comparison to Michael Thomas. But then again, they're both guys that get injured a lot, right? But they're big body guys. But you got to see it more on the field. But I was really liking what I'm saw from that those two guys. I'm like, they need a lot of work, especially on the offensive line as well. They have a pretty good defense. Maybe they need a couple more pass rushers because they got rid of Bradley Chubb. But there's something there with the two wide receivers. And then today you tell me about Jerry Jeudy getting hurt with the hammy. And from that detailed report there, again, nobody's a doctor out there. But when you say things like that, where you're just visibly frustrated, being helped out, you know, those hammies tend to linger for a while. So if you're down, you know, Jerry Jeudy, and you're trying to rely on Courtland Sutton, who hasn't really been healthy for the last couple of years, then that's starting to hurt you there. What do? You kind of lean more on Javonte Williams, who's just coming back from that knee injury. It's tough. So I wanted to like them. And then we saw the preseason kind of how sloppy they were, Russell Wilson. And who knows if he's going to play on Saturday against the Rams, because like they need the work. And that's how that tells you how much work they need to go to potentially be a playoff team.
So here's my concern with Denver, and I don't mean to state the obvious, but we mentioned earlier the Niners and the Broncos played in week 2 of the preseason. The Niners won 21-20, but that's immaterial. Nobody cares who wins a preseason game. Russell Wilson started the game. He went 3 of 6 for 24 yards, and he ran 3 times for 25 yards. People were tweeting about this as though it was like a hail to the king that he was having this incredible comeback. Like, oh, hey, listen, this is the best we've seen Russell Wilson look. And my response to that, because I went back and watched it, he was fine. He was 3 of 6 for 24 yards. Like, that's where we're working from, right? Like, you're not talking about a guy who you're like, man, he went out there with 10 of 12 for 2 touchdowns. Like, it's a long climb back for Russell Wilson. It was a disaster last year. And I watched Denver either live or on replay. I watched every game they played last season. That offense was brutal. And I get that Nathaniel Hackett, not trying to dump on the man, one of the worst head coaching tenures in NFL history. It is what it is. But Russell Wilson was downright bad. Like, there were games last year he just missed throws. Didn't even try to attempt some throws. They led the league in sacks taken, which, look, Wilson has always taken a lot of sacks in his career. It's part of his style. He elongates plays. I think Denver's better this year because they basically have to be better. I don't know that they could be worse. But if Jeudy is missing significant time, and again, we don't know if he is yet, okay? We know Patrick's out for the year. You look at that conference. You know, sometimes, too, it's not just about who the team is. It's the circumstances around them. They're in a division with the Chiefs and the Chargers. The Chiefs are defending Super Bowl champions. The Chargers went 10-7 last year, made the playoffs. They're in a conference where they're going to play the AFC East this season, okay? That means the Bills, the Dolphins, the Jets, and then, oh, you get a break with Mac Jones, but you get Bill Belichick. You have a game against the AFC North where you're getting a last place team because you finished in last place last year in the West. That last place team is Cleveland. Like, Cleveland might go over 500 this year, right? So there's just no break. They play the NFC North. We just went over that division in detail. It's hard, man. It's hard to find 10 wins for Denver. And that's what it's going to take to make the playoffs in the AFC. Like, you're going to have to get to 10. I don't think they can do it. I see them as like a 7-win team. Maybe they can get to 8. And they're right around there. I also wonder with Vance Joseph. He comes over as a defensive coordinator. I like him as a coordinator. But he plays a very specific style. He plays a lot of one high safety and blitz all day. That's going to be interesting in the AFC, where you got a single high safety against all those quarterbacks, and it's just man on man all over the field. That's a big ask. So we'll see how it goes. I hope Jeudy isn't as hurt as he you know, seems to be, if you want to call it that. But I think with or without Judy, I think it's just a tough year. I think they're better. I just don't know that I buy them as a playoff caliber team in that conference.
Yeah, you know, with the AFC, the teams are kind of hovering in that range, like you mentioned, 7 wins, 8 wins. Like you want to find like a place for them in the wild card in the AFC. It's just so hard this year. All these teams are really loaded. And again, maybe I'm making the mistake of just assuming these teams are going to be really good. You know, the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Ravens, the Jaguars, you know, Bills, Dolphins, whatever, Chargers, if you want to throw them in there too. But it's 7-8 deep for sure. So these teams like the Broncos, and I'm going to mention the Raiders because the Raiders are another team that I really kind of maybe buying into some positivity. Like, you know, say the Raiders are good. Jimmy G is doing his job, running Josh McDaniels' scheme. Josh Jacobs comes back. He's doing what he did a year ago. Davante Adams is making plays downfield. And they have Michael Mayer, the tight end. And maybe that offense is good enough to be a very, you know, good ball control, time possession. Don't give your defense too much work because they stink besides Max Crosby. And they hover around 7, 8, 9 wins. And, hey, it's a nice season, but you're in the AFC. That's not going to do it over there. Like, I think we were talking earlier, it could be 10, 11 wins to get there. So, you know, when you got teams like the Ravens and the Bengals in that AFC North and the Browns, even the Steelers too, I kind of like a little bit. Kenny Pickett, I don't know, he's showing me a little something there. I'm going all over the place here. But the point is, if you're one of these kind of middle tier teams, this not might be your year to make it as a wild card team.
It's going to be really hard. So I actually want to go off something you just said about the Raiders because I find this very interesting. So McDaniels in his career as a head coach, which is over 3 years with two with Denver and obviously last year with the Raiders, 17-28, okay? And if memory serves me right, I believe he started 6-0 his first year in Denver. So that means he's 11-28 in his last 39 games. McDaniels, and I wrote about this in the offseason, he continued a proud tradition of every ex-Patriots coach comes out of New England and just finds every single person they possibly can who at some point played in New England. Jimmy G's coming over. Brian Hoyer's over. Jacoby Myers is over. So this is where we'll disagree part two. We were asked by our esteemed editor, Mitch Golditch, to put together our season predictions and send them over. And I don't mean to spoil anything, but I will give away one of mine. I think the Raiders are going to be in the conversation for Caleb Williams and Drake May. They can't stop anybody. Like, it's Max Crosby, and then it's like you and me at corner. I don't know how they're going to stop teams in a conference where who's the 10th best quarterback in the AFC? Tua? Like, it's ridiculous. Every week you're getting somebody who can play. I don't think they can score a ton of points. And I think the one thing with the Niners with Garoppolo, and we know this, they had a great defense for years. Like, they never needed Jimmy G to go and just air it out and score 30 points. The other thing is Garoppolo has always had good rapport with this tight end, to your point, Michael Mayer, right? Coming out, Notre Dame, second-round pick. I think he's going to have a good year. I was shocked when they traded Darren Waller because when they got Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm like, okay, well, Darren Waller is going to be a huge part of this offense, right? Garoppolo doesn't throw the ball deep down the field. It's not his game. He doesn't throw the ball deep outside the numbers. It's not what he does. I wonder how this is going to play out with Davante Adams this year. Because Adams is a guy who obviously can do everything in the passing game, but he's somebody who you can stretch the field with Davante Adams. I don't know if they can do that with Garoppolo. And so I just wonder if it's going to be one of these things where they're down like 17-3 a lot, and now it's like, okay, Jimmy, you got to throw it. That offensive line has question marks. The coach is a question mark. And if you're the Raiders, let's just say I'm right and this season goes off the rails and you're 2-8 after 10 games. I think you're compelled to try to win as a coaching staff and a front office because you may not be there next year if you don't win games. At the same point, Caleb Williams is a hell of a prize at the end of the rainbow, and Drake May's pretty damn good himself. Now, I do think the Cardinals are in the pole position by a mile here. But remember that year three seasons ago when Trevor Lawrence was going to come out of college? And the Jets were something like 0-13, and everybody was like, oh, the Jets, like, it's all lining up. And then they went and they beat the Rams in L.A., and then they won another game the next week. And Jacksonville was like, that's cool, we'll lose out, and took Trevor Lawrence. I'm just very curious to see how this all plays out with the Raiders. I don't think they're going to be 2-win bad or anything, but I could see them being 4 wins bad, and I think that might be – right up toward the top of the draft.
Matt, why tank for Caleb Williams when we have Aiden O'Connell, the pride from Purdue, the rookie who's put on the show?
He has been great. He has been great the preseason. Fourth rounder out of Purdue. You're right, man. You're right.
He's been a good surprise, but yeah, you're right. If you're in the mix for Jake May and Caleb Williams, and you got to go for that. But for me, it's kind of like what you said about Josh McDaniels, right? Like, he was terrible as a head coach with the Broncos. He traded Jay Cutler. We all know the saga that went down over there. And he's been a very good OC, but then you're also kind of, you know, helping out with Tom Brady there. How much are you doing there? So I think part of it's kind of like McDaniels is in this maybe, which could be a problem. The stubborn phase where like, let me just do it my way. Let me go down swinging my way. And sometimes if that vision comes together and you believe in it, with guys like Jacoby Myers and Jimmy G are saying, you know what, we've done this in New England. It works. Maybe that kind of rubs off. And when you're like a franchise with the Raiders who are not used to winning, maybe they buy into that. I don't know. It's cliches in the summer. And I was with you like a month ago. We're like, okay, they're going to be one of these teams that are going to be pretty terrible and they could tank. And just watching how, you know, when you're very top heavy, and you have some dudes and Max Crosby, Davante Adams, Josh Jacobs, like some of the best players at the position, sometimes that's enough to at least be in the race. I'm not saying they're going to be a wild card team. I can't find the place for them. I wanted to, believe me, when Mitch told us to make the picks for next week. And I'm like, I can't do it. I cannot. But 7 or 8. And again, if you play this type of football where you're all about the rushing attack and you want to control the clock, if you fall behind, good point by you, it's going to be a problem and you can't rely on that every single week. But sometimes it does fall your way. So I'm not saying they're going to be really good or really bad. I just feel like they might be a 7-win team somewhere around that line.
Not totally fair. I think one more team I wanted to get to before we wrap. And so everybody listening to this, next week we come back, preseason will be over. So we can go like full season preview. We can talk about a lot of our stuff and see like where we fall on who's going to make the playoffs, stuff like that. And then the following week, week one. We'll be previewing week one. I'm going to be in Kansas City for the Chiefs-Lions game. Can't wait to see that. Chiefs will be raising their banner second in 4 years. You mentioned them actually a minute ago. The Steelers, like, I'm not a big preseason guy because I just think, look, nobody's game planning for these games and you're not scheming and there's a million there. You know, you're not playing everybody. The Steelers have looked really good. And Kenny Pickett, he had a lot of experience at Pitt, gets drafted in the first round, only first-round quarterback in his class. Last year was a struggle. He didn't start the year as a starter, which was expected. Trubisky started the year, gave way fairly early on. Pickett then throws a few more interceptions and he does touchdowns, played a little better as the year went on. But I'll tell you, I actually am a believer in the Steelers as an interesting team. Now, I'm not, again, in that conference, I'm not picking them to be going to the Super Bowl. Okay, let's just be clear. But I really like George Pickens like everybody else in the world. Pat Freiermuth is a good tight end. Najee Harris can run the ball. Deontay Johnson is a very nice number two to George Pickens' number one. I think they're interesting. They got Isaac Seumalo from the Eagles in free agency, playing a guard, kind of beefing up that offensive line. And then defensively, you look at them and, like, you know what they are. They're beasts up front. Nobody knows. Like, Highsmith last year, he had 14 and a half sacks. Nobody even talks about it. They got the extension this offseason, rightfully so. Of course, TJ Watt's there. Cam Hayward is there. They draft Nick Herbig, who has looked fantastic here in the early going on the back. And they've got Minkah Fitzpatrick, Joey Porter Jr. A lot of people thought he'd be a first-round pick. He ends up going with the first pick in the second round. You factor in Mike Tomlin. Like, if Pickett's even halfway decent, it's a pretty good team. It's a pretty interesting team.
Yeah, they kind of give me the Washington Commanders vibes where they're very loaded. And they're like, that quarterback, we just don't know. And, you know, I think Pickett will be better than Sam Howell. I don't know about Sam Howell. Like, you know, he has his moments and we'll find out. But he was a first-round pick and Kenny Pickett was. And, you know, he won a bunch of games a year ago. I think he was 7-5 as a starter. And I think for Mike Tomlin, that's all he wants to. He doesn't care about the stats. He doesn't care about your 8-dot or whatever it is, or your how many yards on first down, things like that. If you're winning freaking ball games, you're going to play for the Steelers. And I think that's what he did a year ago, because I was kind of scratching my head. And Matt, you know, we started, you know, the job at SI in February and March. And, you know, I was really focused, you know, on the West Coast team with the Chargers and the Rams. And I started doing my research. I'm like, why do people like the Kenny Pickett so much? And Alex Highsmith, I was surprised too, 14 sacks. I'm like, okay, this guy's a baller. I should pay attention more. But with Pickett, I'm like, he's averaging like 6 yards per completion. why isn't it competition for Kenny Pickett? I'm like, okay, he won a lot of games. And then you're seeing him, you know, pushing the ball down the field in the preseason. Again, it's preseason. You don't know. You know, this time of year, you don't really think about it. You just play football and you push the ball down the field and you get lucky sometimes. Maybe that's a good confidence booster. But if they're not pushing the ball down the field with Kenny Pickett, I can see him pulling the plug on the experiment in year two. But I think the Mike Tomlin mindset, he did earn the right to be the QB1 for this year because he won 7 games a year ago. But you're right. That team is loaded and you got a lot of weapons offensively. If you're not going to improve those numbers, eventually you got to move on.
Well, I think if you're the Steelers right now, so you took him in the first round last year. So this is year two of the contract, right? I mean, Pickett realistically, in my view, has this year for sure. And then he's got next year. I mean, it's kind of like the Mac Jones thing, right? Like Mac Jones is now in year three. If Mac Jones isn't good, New England's probably looking elsewhere. Or they're starting to seriously look elsewhere. With Pittsburgh, look, Pickett has this year. But then it becomes like, okay, if he doesn't play well this year, and let's even take it a step further. Let's say he doesn't play well this season, but they still manage to win 9 games. Then it's like, well, think about what this team would be with a quarterback who could really play. I'm interested in Kenny Pickett. I really don't have an opinion of him yet one way or the other. By the way, one guy to note, because I don't know why, I've just always kind of followed this with him. I think it's interesting. So Marcus Golden is now with the Steelers. He had played with the Cardinals his first 4 years, then the Giants for 2 years, and back to the Cardinals 2 years. So here's the sack totals each of the last 5 seasons for Marcus Golden. 2.5, 10, 1.5, 11, 2.5. Guess what, Pittsburgh? That means you're in line for like a 10 or 11 sack season. Because every other year, Marcus Golden's great. And then he just can't have a sack the following year. So they are going to put pressure on teams up front. Like that, you know they will do that. They can play on the back end. They brought in Patrick Peterson as well, who's not the all-pro that he was in Arizona, but still a competent corner. I really like them. Like, I just, again, to your point, I don't know that Pickett can elevate with that roster. If he can, I could even see them, like, staying around in the hunt for the division. I just don't know that he can do it. I think Pickett definitely has this year, next year, but then it becomes like, okay, then you got to start talking about fifth-year option. Did they pick that up? Well, that's a long way down the road. Right now, though, Kenny Pickett's in a good spot. He's in a good situation. Great coach, ton of talent. Talent you can grow with because it's young. This is an important moment for Pickett in his young development. I think that he has all that he could ever ask for around him. And yeah, it's a really tough division, but the Steelers are as talented, in my opinion, as Baltimore is now, except, of course, at the very, very important position of quarterback. But in terms of the rest of the 52, they're as talented. I think they're more talented than Cleveland, even if you want to factor in the quarterbacks. The Bengals are the team that, of course, you'll look at and go, okay, well, can you beat them out? I don't think so. But I think Pittsburgh's good. I think Pittsburgh's one of those underrated teams you were talking about earlier when you're looking for the one of those 5 teams. Pittsburgh's one of mine. I think Pittsburgh's going to be much better than people think.
Yeah, and we're going off of trends here with Mike Tomlin. They're guaranteed 9 wins, right? Winning record every single year that he's been coaching. So if Kenny Pickett gets that extra 2 wins, 11 wins there, they'll get into the playoffs. But even if you look at the AFC North, can they even be better than the Browns, the Ravens, the Bengals? Like I'm very intrigued about the Browns. Like, I don't know what Deshaun Watson we're going to get. Obviously, he's going through a bunch of things in his head. You know, what's been going on the last couple of years. He admitted this offseason that he's lacking confidence. Like, he got it back this offseason. We'll see. We'll find out. But if you're the Steelers, can you even beat the Browns and the teams in your division to make it a wild card team? And I don't know if you want to end here or what else we got planned, Matt. But the Browns, I just don't know about them. They're loaded. Myles Garrett, Nick Chubb, a lot of good talent on that team. But I just don't know if I'm going to buy in.
Yeah, you know what? I visited the Browns. Now, I will tell you, we stood outside for 2 hours and watched them practice in a driving rainstorm, which was quite pleasant. Deshaun Watson that day was bad. He struggled. Mm-hmm. He struggled. Now, again, it was in a driving rainstorm, so that also has to be factored in there. But I don't know, man. Like, I think the Browns are going to be fine. I think they're going to be right around 500. You know, 8 to 9 wins. I think that's where they are. Wouldn't be shocked if they find a way to 10. Wouldn't be shocked if they win 7. But Pittsburgh does intrigue me. But in any event, yeah, we'll wrap here as we're approaching the hour mark. Covered a lot of ground. We will be back next week right here on the MMQB podcast. Please subscribe in iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcast. Leave a rating, leave a review. Unless it's not a nice rating or review, then in that case, don't leave it. Don't be that guy. We appreciate the listenership for sure. We will be here all season long right here on the MMQB podcast, talking ball, midweek show, breaking it all down. Next week, we'll have our season preview. And then the next time we come back, it's week one. And football is here. Not this preseason stuff that nobody actually really can figure out what's happening. Real football. So, for Gilberto Manzano, I am Matt Verderam here at SI. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.